So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Joshua chapter 1. I am going to be looking at selected passages all through the book of Joshua. I've entitled today's message, God Gives Us Rest. Listen for that word. You're going to hear it a lot as we walk through Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest, and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives you rest unto your brothers, as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that the servant of the Lord gave to you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise." And then turning your Bibles over to Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. God's word says this, "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal allotments. And the land had rest from war." Turn over just two more, three more chapters to chapter 14, verse 13. "And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel." Now the name of the Hebron formerly was Kirath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. And the land had rest from war. And turn over to Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. "Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn unto their fathers. Not one of their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." And then if you turn to Joshua chapter 22, verse 4, declares this truth. "And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he has promised them. Therefore turn and go to your tents in the land where your possession lies, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave to you on the other side of the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses the servant of your Lord commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Thus ends the reading of the Holy Word. Let me ask you a question. Some of you in here, since we're getting a little on the gray side, the bald side, the long in the tooth side, many of us, you've received an inheritance. How many of y'all have received an inheritance? You don't have to do a show of hands. But many of you can identify with what I'm talking about. A parent or some relative passed down to you a gift. It's like, wow, that's awesome. And for some people, they get a very large inheritance. And the interesting thing about an inheritance is very rarely do inheritances come with these restrictions. Usually it's given to you. It's yours. It is now your money. You are able to do with it as you see fit. And many people spend their inheritances on houses. They pay off their house. They buy a new home. They buy a car. They send their kid to college. All kinds of things. And I'm sure that many of you would share stories of how you have utilized your inheritance. Interestingly, very rarely do you find when someone has inherited a sum of money to later they go, "Well, I never got an inheritance." are able to look back to when they were given that. And I would submit to you that as we've walked through the book of Joshua, God wants you to understand that you have received an inheritance. God has purchased that for you. And He wants you to know that He has earned the inheritance and He has given it to you. And you go, what are you talking about? Okay, we've looked at the nation of Israel. And we've just heard all of these passages about, and God gave them rest, and God gave them the land. And this is all according to the promises. This is what was promised. Okay, that's well and good for those old covenant folks. What about us? Turn in your scriptures to Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 11. Did you know that you have an inheritance from God if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in Him, and you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Now here's the truth. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received a full inheritance from God. He has given you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that you will fully realize everything that you have. And so, for us, if you will, just like we talked earlier about that you would receive an inheritance, let's suppose you bought a house with your inheritance. And you're sitting there on a cold winter night. We've had a few cool nights this past week. I looked at my son and daughter-in-law out in South Dakota, and they've had the wind blowing like crazy and the snow on the ground, and I'm going, thank you, Jesus. I'm not there. But when you sit in your warm house that you bought with your inheritance, it's very difficult to go, I didn't get an inheritance. You can sit in your warm, cozy house and go, I've got it. I'm living it. I'm resting in my inheritance. That's pretty easy to think and understand. But here's the problem. So many of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we doubt whether we really have the inheritance. Yeah, I know how it works. We have a bad week. Y'all ever have those? Ken, you get more than your fair share, don't you, brother? And when we have cynical hearts, sometimes it really gets hard because we forget to believe the truths of what is told to us in Scripture. You've got the lock, stock, and barrel. As that movie said in Secondhand Lion, the kid gets it all. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you get it all. It's all yours. And so what God wants you to know as we look at a book like Joshua is that you are living in the inheritance that Christ Jesus, your older brother, has completely purchased for you. And it's yours. Quite frankly, that's the whole message this morning. You've got it all right there. But I want us to unpack as we look at some of these passages and understand, because the Old Testament was given to us for our instruction, wasn't it? And the Old Testament is like looking in an old bronze mirror. It's really not a good image sometimes. But there are pictures that you can see. You can look in a bronze polished mirror and you can see yourself and go, oh, that's me. And so when we read the Old Testament, we need to look at these images and go, how does that reflect what I can see in Jesus? Because He's the real deal. How does this reflect for me? And there's a couple of lessons I want you to walk away with as we look at these passages from Joshua. And this is a theme that we've been touching on all through our walk through Joshua. But I want to bring together this morning that God gives us rest. He gives us the inheritance. And so let's look at some of these lessons that we need to realize. First and foremost, your salvation is not based upon your hard work. That is one of the biggest reasons you can rest. Think about it. If you had to earn your salvation and you had to be good enough, it'd be really easy to look back and go, maybe I wasn't quite at the level I needed to be, huh? But because our salvation is based upon what Christ has done and that God has declared He has given it to you, we look to Him, not us, for the sureness of our salvation. In Joshua 21, the verse we read, it's verse 44, it said, "The Lord gave them rest." All through the book of Joshua, we've seen God gave them the land. When they went in, they really didn't have to fight. Remember the battle of Jericho? They just showed up, walked around, worshipped God. The walls fell down, and they just went in and cleaned things up. They were probably quaking in their boots when they're going, "This is a really serious city, Jericho. You really want us to do what, God?" And God goes, "I'll show myself great." And so the thing that we have seen as we have looked at many of these battles is the Israelites, God's people, did not earn or capture their inheritance by their superior warfare or their skills or their methods. Remember, God forbid them horses. God forbid them chariots. All the people they were coming against in the land had horses and chariots. They had superior weaponry. But God fought their battle again and again and again. And think about it this way. For us, when it comes to our salvation, it was the cross of Jesus Christ that accomplished our redemption. Not your goodness or how much you gave last week or how many little old ladies you've helped or how often you read your Bible. It was what Christ Jesus did at the cross. And so, Old Covenant, they were given the land. But you're not in the Old Covenant, are you? You're in the New Covenant. What have you been given? We have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. And we're placed in the church, His body. We're in this church. And then we know for a fact when we die, we will be with God for eternity. And so our inheritance has been given to us. And we have the Holy Spirit as our down payment. We have the church now around us, the brothers and sisters, as we live life, and we know that we will have eternal fellowship with Him. As Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, He said, "I am the resurrection of the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die," you remember the last part? "Yet shall he live." You see, it's because of what Christ has done, that because we're in Him, Jesus basically has sworn a blood oath by His work on the cross. He proved it by His work on the cross, that He would save His people from their sins. You remember what the angel said to Mary. She will bear a son, and you will call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Actually, the angel was speaking to Joseph. Sorry. He's like, hey, God is coming to us. And so we have this sure inheritance. And so when we read in the book of Joshua, God gave them rest. God gave them the land. Who did that? God. You want a great homework assignment for this afternoon? Go home and read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Time doesn't allow me to unpack that beautiful, beautiful passage. But let me give you a foretaste of why that is such a juicy set of passages in your scriptures. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says this, "And it is said today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who had left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with all those people who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient." So we see that they were unable to enter because of their unbelief. See, we're warned in Hebrews, and you can read about 3 and 4, and how we enter the rest that Christ has purchased for us. How? By believing. It's the same thing. Remember, the Israelites, God does this miraculous thing, takes them out of Egypt, drowns all the Egyptians in the Red Sea. He brings them to Mount Sinai, and the people are still whining, complaining, making other gods, running after this and that. Evidence of what? Unbelief. My God has saved me. He has brought me out. Oh, maybe he didn't really do that. Do you see how they were taking the inheritance that God had given them and just squandering it in faith? And that's what Hebrews 3 helps unpack for us is, don't be like those idiots. Oh, it didn't say that, did it? But that's what it means. Don't be like them. Believe that God has given you this great salvation. They heard the promise, but they weren't willing to live it out and obey it. And so for most of us sitting here today, we're going, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ died for me. But then what happens? Oh, I get those days. Life gets busy. I don't stop to just take time to say thanks to God. And I become self-focused, self-centered, and I'm like, oh, I got to do this because God won't. And I forget the gospel, don't I? Because the gospel is, I'm never going to be good enough, and that's why God sent Jesus to redeem me. And it's his righteousness that gets me there. And so I have to remember, my salvation is not based upon my works, but upon his gift. How does it put it in Ephesians? For it is by grace you have been saved, and this not of yourself. Lest I get to boast. And we don't get to boast, do we? We only get to boast in what Christ did, not what we did. And then you go, well, maybe I never was one of those. Ephesians 1:4, he says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Are you here hearing my voice, hearing the word of God, hearing the hope that for all those who believe, he gave the right to become sons of the living God? Let me encourage you. You've been chosen. You have heard the message. Act upon the message. Believe the message. Don't be like Israel, who died in the desert because they were like, maybe I need to do something else. Maybe a golden calf will help me get in contact with God. We all do that. God has given us. And so he has given us his inheritance. He has given us this gift of salvation, the land, the rest in the land. What you and I need to walk away is rest in that. God will never let his promises fail. When we look at the book of Joshua, when we step back from it, let us remember he gives the promises of the land and the rest through Joshua. He leads the people. Think about it. Joshua, that's Hebrew for what? Bingo, Jesus. Joshua is Hebrew for Jesus. You think that's a coincidence? No. It's a picture of our Savior. Jesus is a deliverer. He's the one who brought us our inheritance, our salvation. All the promises, God carries them out. There's one big difference between Joshua and Jesus. Joshua was a sinner. Jesus was not. He does fully, completely what Joshua could never do because Joshua, again, is like one of those brass mirrors. He kind of shows us Jesus, but it's not quite all there. It's a piece. It's a type. And so the thing we need to remember is our salvation is not dependent on you being righteous enough. And if you do think that, you have forgotten the gospel. Because most of us know when we think about the gospel, our righteousness will never earn us, or our lack of righteousness will never lose heaven for us. The gospel is that our righteousness is never good enough, and it's always Christ. It's my older brother. It's what God has provided for me. That is the gospel. And so, the points in your bulletin that are important for us to walk away from this book of Joshua when he says, and he gave them rest, he gave them the land, it's this. Your salvation is never dependent upon you being righteous enough. You can't do it. Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of the righteous works you've done, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So who does the saving? God does. Whew. We've already talked about what Paul says, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved. And it ain't none of your own doing. It's all Him. Whew. The other thing to remember, the corollary, is this. Your best righteousness will always be inadequate against the holiness of God. You know what the biggest problem I have in my life? I don't understand God's holiness enough. Think about that. We don't understand what holiness and perfection and too pure to look upon sin is. And so we think, oh, we can get good enough. Ain't going to happen. I love in the beginning of Isaiah. You remember that? Isaiah is there and he's like, woe is me, I'm undone. Literally, I'm untied. I fall apart when we are confronted with the holiness of God. Later in the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 64, 6, he declares this, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. Literally there, it's a much more vulgar term. It's disgusting what we have become. We fade like leaves, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. And the thing we need to remember is we can never earn our way to God. And the hope of the gospel is He's provided what we need. And so, third thing to remember, we'll never be declared righteous by observing the law. We only get that by His grace and mercy. God started with His people. He brought them out of Egypt, and he brought them to Himself. He called them to worship Him. In the book of Deuteronomy, which we've looked at again and again and again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, we find these words. And He speaks about His people. That would be the same as you and I. For you are a people who are holy to the Lord your God. Well, I sure didn't act holy, God. I read the rest of it. Well, think about how often do we. I look at my own life and I think, how often do I act holy? And I remember He has declared that I am holy because of Christ. And then it goes on and it says, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. It wasn't because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love upon you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all the peoples. But, and here's what you need to remember, but it was because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers. So the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand. He has redeemed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of the Pharaoh of Egypt. You see, anytime we look at our salvation, we need to look back to God. The beauty of the Advent season is, remember, this is the reason Christmas is so important, because God provided the means for my righteousness in this babe. It's the great exchange. God made Him who had no sin, Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, the one who came and walked among us and dwelt among us and obeyed His Father, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So God takes all of our sins, He dumped them on His Son, He crucified His Son, He takes all the perfection and the holiness of Christ, and He dumps it on all those who believe. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the great exchange. And so never forget that your salvation or your inheritance is a gift. It's a gift from God. It's not a wage. Romans 6:23, we know it says what? The wages of sin, what are they? They're death. We know that. And how often do we try and work or seek to do some wages so maybe we can get to God? No, the wages are always death. But the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life. And we must remember that. God has given us that hope. And so, here's what we need to remember. Just as we've heard in these Joshua passages, and God gave them rest. God gave them rest. God gave them rest. All through this passage, we see that. God has given you rest as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 19, verse 30. Hear well these words that accomplished your rest. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, do you remember those three words? It's finished. It is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So when you think, I need to. Remember those three words that Christ gave at the cross. He gave me rest because he said it's finished. It's his work. Let me depend on what he has done. So now, how do I take these truths that we all go, oh yeah, yeah, we've heard those. How do I live them out? The lesson for gospel living is this. Remember that the war for your salvation, your inheritance, is over. Remember who you are in Christ. We often talk about that as we work with the saturate material, is remember your identity. Who are you? Who's your daddy? Who redeemed you? Who did he make you to be? Remember your identity in Christ. And remember that your salvation is a done deal, and he has given you a guarantee. What's that guarantee? The Holy Spirit, who indwells you. God has accomplished everything. You don't have to do anymore. You need to simply live in the reality of your identity. The author of Hebrews asks it this way in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And the author of Hebrews keeps driving us back to the Old Testament, Old Covenant people of God who kept, oh, no, I need to go do this, or I need to go do that, or I'll go worship this, or this God, or that God, instead of remembering the God who redeemed them and saved them. He brought them in the land, and he wanted them to live there abundantly, and they kept running off onto every other thing. Remember, your salvation is a done deal. The Father has decreed your salvation. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And remember that the Father has decreed it, the Son won your salvation, and the Holy Spirit is your deposit that guarantees that salvation. Ephesians 1:14, he is a guarantee of our inheritance. You've got it. It's yours. And so, back to our inheritance discussion. If you're sitting in your house that was purchased with your inheritance, and it's cold outside, you don't go, oh, I never got an inheritance. You look at the house and you say, this is my inheritance. This is what I have. Part of that is, that's why life in the church, why God puts you in the church, family, brothers and sisters. As you live in the church, you go, this is my inheritance. It's a piece. It's not as good as what I'm going to get, but I've got it now. And so I need to believe what I have. And the Holy Spirit is my guarantee. And as I look around, I mean, it was a beautiful, sweet time. In Sunday school this morning, we spent 15, 20 minutes in prayer as a congregation. And you know what I was struck by? Wow. I have brothers and sisters who have the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit's in me too. We're all... how cool is that? You see, that's the hope that we have. And so I need to go, stop it. Thinking my inheritance is not sure. Look around you. There's days my faith is really wimpy. You can pray for me. There's days that I wonder, how could God love me? Any of y'all have those things that come out of your heart? You're sure glad that the little thought balloons don't come out of your head? You know what I'm talking about? If we could see what you were thinking. Oh, boy. Woo! I'd be blushing all the time. But remember, no. God chose to redeem you, and so I need to walk and rest in his work. Remember your identity in Christ. Go all the way back when God rescued his people from Egypt. Do you remember what Moses was told to tell the Pharaoh? Let my people go. Why? So they might worship and serve me, is basically the gist of the Hebrew as it translates out. God wanted his people to worship and serve him. Same deal in New Covenant, guess what? It ain't no different. It's the same thing. And so realize, God has given Christ the better Moses. God has given us Jesus, the better Joshua. And so we've got it all. And so we need to pay attention to passages like Hebrews 3 and 4 and go, quit forgetting. And we need to lovingly challenge one another. Remember that how good it is to be in Christ and rejoice in that. And so God gives us our salvation that we might rest and worship him. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's you and me. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So let us therefore to strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You know, it's so funny, my little pharisaical legalistic heart, I read passages like that and I go, ooh, I better work harder. That's exactly opposite of what it tells us. No, I better believe harder in the provision of my God, who gave me such a great salvation that the Word become flesh, who dwelt among us and redeemed us. Walk in his righteousness, not mine. And as you read through in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, what you'll be struck with is it keeps coming back. Rest in this. This is your Sabbath rest. It's Christ, not working harder. And so we have that privilege. And so when we think of the gospel, we need to rest in that reality of what Christ has done. We also get to remember that God has redeemed us for a purpose. And I love Peter. He's so real, you know, foot and mouth Peter. He says it this way in 1 Peter 2:9. But you, speaking of believers, what are we? We're a chosen people. We're royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. A people for his own possession. And then he goes on and he says, okay, you're all those cool things. Don't forget it. This is who you are in Christ. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All you need to do is walk along and go, you know how cool it is that God loved me enough to redeem me? I know you look at me and you'd be surprised that he would do that. I am too. But that's what Jesus did. He redeemed me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep proclaiming his excellencies. I'm going to keep proclaiming his praises wherever I go, and I'm not going to quit. And I can do that, and I can do that faithfully because he has given me a guaranteed inheritance in Christ. He has given me rest in Christ. I don't have to work. All I get to do is sit around and go, "Woo, God, awesome. Let me praise his name." Isn't that an amazing spin when we look at the gospel with that truth? Let us become people who do that and live that and proclaim that.